This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. He joins us every Thursday in the 12 o'clock hour. Rafi, recently released by the federal government the indictment of Randy Farrell. He was the individual inside safety and permits. This has all kinds of machinations to it and downstream implications, and none of which are very rosy, right?
Right. So what I think a lot of people don't understand is, why is a private business person conducting inspections for the city of New Orleans? So any type of construction in parishes usually require permits, and there are certain requirements that the people conducting work, electrical work, or licensed contractors have to adhere to certain standards, and they have to submit their licensing to the parish or the city, and that has to be approved. The problem is that the city and parish agencies that have to conduct these inspections and issue these permits don't have sufficient staffing. And if a project is delayed because the parish or the city doesn't have the sufficient staff to go out and timely make inspections, it's driving up the cost of construction and the work, delaying projects. So parishes and cities agreed to allow third-party contractors to come in and conduct inspections for the city and the parish. Farrell created this company doing this service, not just in New Orleans, but in Jefferson and Kenner and in other places that are permitted by law to do it. And he would do third-party inspections. So in the city of New Orleans, Farrell was in business, and his company was IECI, which is a third-party inspections agent. He was licensed by the city of New Orleans to conduct inspections. He's supposed to follow the city policies and laws with respect to licensing and inspections and the issuing of permits and confirming that the work was performed by licensed contractors in conformity with codal provisions. Well, what the government is alleging is that they issued a 25-count indictment. 21 of the counts involve fraud that Farrell did as a third-party contractor, where he would certify that the work being done on homes and businesses by electricians was, A, the work was done by a licensed electrician, and B, the work was done in conformity with safety permitting standards. What the government is alleging, that Farrell allowed unlicensed electrical contractors to perform this work. And since if he had issued a permit to an unlicensed contractor or approved work done by an unlicensed contractor, that would be a violation of city law. He falsified the documents that were submitted to the city. He would claim that the work was done by a licensed electrician, when in fact, in reality, it was done by an unlicensed electrician. And the unlicensed electricians would bribe him to allow them to get the job, do the work, and receive the permits that they weren't entitled to receive. And he did this hundreds of times between what the government is alleging between 2007 and 2024. The amazing thing, I checked yesterday, and Farrell's business is still operating in the city of New Orleans, despite despite the fact that he's under indictment right now. But that's a matter of, you know.
He's still doing inspections for the city?
Still on paper doing inspections for the city. So I guess, you know, this indictment came out last week and he was innocent until proven guilty. Now, you know, we'll see what the city's response is to this indictment. But he's still out there. His business is still operating in the city of New Orleans. So essentially, what the government is alleging in the first 21 counts is that every time he submitted a fraudulent permit or inspection certificate to an unlicensed electrician, that was a count of wire fraud. And the government has documented several cases in the indictment, one of which was a homeowner, apparently with some knowledge of electrical work, notice while the walls were still open that the electrical work was done in an unsafe manner and not in conformity with the code, and he had paid his contractor for a licensed electrician. The homeowner found out that the work was performed by an unlicensed electrician. He brought that to the attention of Randy Farrell that was conducting the inspection. Randy Farrell, you know, the government is able to show that Randy Farrell was paid a bribe by that electrician and or contractor in this. And Farrell, despite the fact that he was put on notice that the work was done by an unlicensed electrician, submitted documentation to the city of New Orleans that the work was done by a licensed electrician, used a licensed electrician's name and company when the work wasn't performed by that licensed electrician or his company. It was done by an unlicensed electrician. And the homeowner had to pay another electrician to come in and correct the issues. So every one of the 22 counts are similar to that, where the government is able to prove and alleging that they have the ability to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Farrell falsified records, accepted bribes from the unlicensed electricians and contractors to falsely certify that the work was performed by licensed electricians and in conformity with city code provisions, and he used that for his own personal enrichment. Now, it's also been disclosed that Farrell bribed Public Official 1 and Public Official 2. And Farrell wanted city employee number 1 fired. City employee number 1 was a safety and permits employee that also was in charge of the one-stop website for the city of New Orleans. So electricians and contractors can go online at the one-stop website for the city and certify the work was done. And the person in charge of that began to question some of the electricians and some of the contractors, and she noticed that all of those questionable electrician and contractors, their work was being inspected and approved by Farrell. She was on to what Farrell was doing. And Farrell allegedly, according to the government, bribed Public Official 1 and Public Official 2 to fire the head of One Stop and the deputy director of inspections, which was the same person, Jennifer Cecil. So Jennifer Cecil, city employee, had her job terminated because the government is alleging that Farrell wanted her fired, wanted her gone, because she was jeopardizing his revenue stream. And what was the scope of his revenue stream? Well, we know that before last Friday's indictment, Farrell in 2021 pled guilty to federal tax charges. And his tax fraud involved his business, IECI, that he owned in partnership with his brother and his sister. And he pled guilty to defrauding the government in back taxes to the tune of over $1 million and is paying restitution. So that, I believe, is indicative of how much money he was generating from IECI, conducting inspections. And when a city employee threatened his revenue stream by exposing the fact that he was fraudulently submitting documents of licensed electricians certifying that they had done the work on homes and businesses that they did not do. In fact, the work was done by unlicensed electricians. The government was able to document that, and the government tipped their hand in the indictment and indicated that some of the evidence that they have of these bribes and payments came from Farrell's cell phone, text messages that were sent to him by contractors and electricians that were acknowledged by him. So, again, we saw when Officer Vappi was indicted, the government made clear that they had Officer Vappi's cell phone records and they had Public Official 1's cell phone records. Public Official 1 in the Vappi case was Mayor Cantrell. Public Official 1 in the Farrell case is public is the mayor, Mayor Cantrell. So a lot of what the government is proving, both in the Vappi prosecution and now in the Farrell prosecution, involves cell phone records that were obtained by the government. If they're going to prove the various elements of the offense, and it's not going to necessarily just be hearsay testimonial evidence of one witness versus another, it will be the actual cell phone records of the defendant, of the co-conspirators, of the people that are involved in this. It'll be their text messages, their photographs, their emails that will be presented to a jury to prove the various elements of the 25-count indictment that's been brought against Mr. Farrell. So there's going to be a lot more to play out. This isn't the end of it by any stretch of the imagination. This is just the beginning of the next phase. So normally what you see is the government worked their way up a ladder. You know, the first run in ascending the ladder was the Officer Vappi indictment. And we saw maybe the common denominator between the Vappi and the Farrell indictment are the cell phone records of both the mayor and the accused in this. In the Vappi case, they had Vappi cell phone records. In Farrell's case, they have Farrell cell phone records. They make it clear in the Vappi case that they have the mayor's cell phone records and all of that. So we're seeing the second run of the latter being the Randy Farrell indictment, 25 counts, and each count has a potential exposure of up to 20 years. So this is a serious indictment in him. And keep in mind that, you know, this is now his second offense. He was lucky. He got probation. He was had the ability to make restitution to the government in the amount of $1.1 million for back taxes. So this is an offense that he's not going to get probation on. He knows that.
Rafi, what happens? You know, what happens relative to? So we've identified these inspections that were, for lack of a better term, fraudulent, right?
Yep.
And we know of one case where something was done improperly. What are we doing to protect the people that, you know, that the cases that we know about where we had fraudulent inspections, we had electrical work performed by an individual who was not licensed to do so, and what do we do to protect those people? I mean, we have potential fire hazards. We don't know what the risks are. But now we're in some respects burdened with all this knowledge, meaning the city of New Orleans. Shouldn't there be a remediation plan put in place? I mean, we've created a very dangerous situation.
In the indictment, the government points out the measure that, you know, the point you just made. You had homeowners and business owners and property owners that relied upon the inspections. They paid to have licensed electricians do the work, and they found out that unlicensed electricians were doing the work, in some instances substandard. You know, in the one instance that I cited to, and there's a number in the indictment that I didn't go into, the homeowner actually observed the substandard violations of the electrical work. He was able to remediate that, but he reported it, and that's included in the indictment. But the government alleges that not only were the property owners victims of this, but the financial institutions that may have loaned money are now exposed to this. The insurance companies that, you know, have issued policies based on the fact that, you know, this is licensed and the work done was in compliance with, you know, current code.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rule provisions and safety provisions that wasn't, they're at risk in all of this. The lenders, you know, the banks, the financial institutions, when they guarantee these loans and loan the money, they have every expectation that this work was being done in conformity with current code and safety measures, and now they're finding out that it's not. And as the government is alleging in this indictment, there were hundreds, and they didn't get into exact numbers, hundreds of false documents and permits that were issued and supervised by Farrell, who's been doing business since 2007, and he's still doing business right now. So I don't know how you open up the walls, but, you know, and look at everything. Even if you can identify every business, the only way to determine what's at stake is, or what's at risk, is actually open up the walls and see all the electrical work that was done. The cost for that, who's going to assume the cost of doing that? And we may have hundreds of ticking time bombs out there. And it's going to be a nightmare for everybody that hired his firm to conduct inspections. They may not even know, you know, who the firm was that did the inspections. It was the contractor that made that decision to hire Farrell's firm in some of these cases. And the homeowner and the property owner may not even know. They think since the permits were issued by the city of New Orleans, they were done by the city of New Orleans in compliance. So, you know, you're hitting on, you know, a very a cogent point.
Yeah,
in that, well, I mean, you know, the cost of this is just staggering.
Yeah, it's concerning. It really is. I mean, you're burdened with this knowledge now. It seems to me someone's got an obligation to go do something. I don't know who that individual is. Hadn't thought it through, but I would be nervous if I was sitting as the head of the city, right? Because they accept
these things. I don't know if Farrell's firm has any insurance, you know, and that property owners that used his firm may be able to make claims against his insurance carrier. You know, he had the ability to pay back over $1 million in restitution for federal taxes. It shows you he's made a lot of money. I don't know if he has any other assets that could be, you know, the government in this indictment is also asking for forfeiture of his assets derived from this criminal enterprise. So all of that remains to be seen. But this is more than just, you know, paying bribes. You know, there are hundreds of victims of this case, and every one of these wirings and constructions and false permits are a ticking time bomb to the property owners that may be faced with some catastrophic consequences as a result of this corruption.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Got to get to a break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. When we return, we'll talk about the U.S. Marshals Service in the Eastern District of Louisiana, the New Orleans Task Force, their stats. I talked about their national stats of a recent operation that they announced. Very, very impressive. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.